The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Welcome. We're glad you guys are here this morning. We're entering my favorite time of year, heading into the holidays, and we hope that you're ready to experience Jesus in some deep and real ways as we not only receive the gifts that he's given to us, but we understand and grab hold to in tangible ways the way that we've been blessed to be a blessing to others. We're going to give you an envelope that basically explains a vision for our church for the Christmas season, that we would be here to adopt the families that God has placed around us in our community that are in need. There are many families who find it hard to be able to celebrate or even just make basic ends come together during this time of year. Many families are out of work. Many families have three or four families sharing one home together. And so during this time of year, we adopt a number of families. Last year, over 100 families in our community were adopted by you and blessed in the name of Jesus, and we're here to do that again each and every year. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this way. So read it over, and we'll tell you more about it in the weeks to come. In addition to that, we want to welcome you. If you're visiting here at Hope Hill Church, we want you to know that you're kind of seeing our heartbeat. We're not just a place where we want you to gather an hour a week, check off a box, and say you did your Christian duty for the week. We want to be a living, breathing body of Christ in our community. We're not the church here. We're the church out there. We are the church gathered here, equipped and enabled to go be the church and make a difference 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, out there living for Jesus. So if you want to be on board with what we're doing, we want to welcome you. Actually, we want to welcome you regardless of where you're at. But we hope that you're ready to dive in and let Jesus change you as he changes this world. God, I want you to come right now. Open up our hearts and minds to your word that we're about to receive. God, I pray that you give me the right words to say as we go through this series together. I pray, God, that for those who might be sitting in this room, who don't know who you are, that their hearts would be opened by the power of your Holy Spirit to know who you are today. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for giving us your word. Help us now to understand it as we go through it. In your name we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, we started this series called Afterlife. So far, we've covered topics, death and dying. It's happening to all of us. Second week, we talked about hell. A dark, scary place, but not a place that you have to go to. And we can know for sure before we die that we don't have to go there. Go back and listen to the podcast for those two teachings. Today, we're talking about heaven. Heaven is a real place. There was a guy who died. He went to heaven. As he got to heaven, he went to the pearly gates and he met this guy named Peter standing there. You may have heard of him. And as he went up to Peter, Peter said, "Hey, before I let you in, buddy, to see the big guy, I want you to tell me what's one of the greatest acts of kindness that you ever did while you were down there before you came up here?" And he said, "Oh, I got one. He said, "I was sitting down minding my own business, and I saw this old lady walking through the community, and the next thing I know, this biker gang pulled up, and they started harassing her. I got off my porch, I ran down, got between that old lady and those bikers, and I said, 'You're not going to touch her. I'm here to stop you. You're going to treat this old lady right.'" And Peter said, "Wow, that's amazing. So how long ago did that happen?" The guy said, "About 2 minutes ago." A lot of us, we've heard a lot of things about heaven. Most of what we've learned about heaven, we've either learned through stories told or corny jokes like that or movies. If you grew up, when I grew up, you may have thought of God kind of like George Burns, right? Maybe you're a little younger and your idea of God is kind of more like Morgan Freeman, right? We get a lot of ideas about heaven from stories, from jokes, from books written. The truth is, with all things spiritual, we should go, for all things in life, we should go back to the Word of God. The Word of God lays out for us the truth about these subjects, truths that we can know. You don't have to walk through life wondering what's going to happen in the afterlife. It's been spelled out for us. Even subjects as dark as hell. Jesus himself talked more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. A lot of times we don't think of Jesus in that way. But Jesus had a passion. And if hell was not some important place to avoid, do you think Jesus would have given up his life? No way. if we could somehow get to heaven in any other way, shape, or form, do you think Jesus would have laid down his life in the way that he did? There's no way. If you or I could somehow earn our own way to heaven, if you or I could somehow, by default, just die and go to heaven, unfortunately, that's what many people in our culture think. They think that many people are going to heaven. All you got to do is basically walk this side of the middle ground. Just be, let your goods outweigh your bads, and you're destined to go to a good place. If that was true, do you think God would have given up the life of his own son if it was that simple to get into a place called heaven? We're going to learn some truths about heaven today. And my hope is that as I share with you, the Holy Spirit would speak truth to the depths of your heart. First of all, there's a lot that the Bible tells us. There are some things that we don't fully understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "No eye has seen, nor has any ear heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." We don't know everything there is to be about heaven and the afterlife, but there are some key truths that we can know. And what you and I believe about heaven and hell, what you and I believe about death and dying, should impact the way we live today. If it doesn't, and I don't know what you believe, because there are people who do not yet know Jesus. And many times in our idea of being tolerant and our idea of being polite, we don't let people know the truth. And we are called to share the truth in love, but we are still called to share the truth. I'm reminded of a video that I saw a while ago. I showed it, I think, a year ago. Penn and Teller, the taller of the two. You know the magicians I'm talking about in Vegas? He was telling the story. Now, they're both atheists. And Penn was telling the story after this one show. There was an autograph line. At the end of the autograph line, he noticed this gentleman standing in the back of the room, just waiting patiently. And this gentleman came up and was very polite, complimented him on the greatness of the show and on all these things. And then he handed him, Penn went on to say, he handed me a little Gideon's Pocket New Testament Bible. And on the inside cover was written kind of a way that he could become a Christian, highlighted certain verses to read. And he said, you know, in my conversation with that guy, I left not angry or upset because we believe different things. I'm an atheist and he believes in Christ. But I left respecting this guy because he believes I'm on my way to hell and he wants to keep me from going there. How can I be offended at somebody like that? He said, I would attribute it to something like this. If you were walking down the street and saw somebody unknowingly crossing the street and a truck was headed their way to hit them and kill them, if you did nothing about it or said nothing about it or yelled at them to tell them heads up or run out the street to try to push them out of the way, shame on you. Penn, this atheist, said, I respect that guy because he was willing to tell me there is a heaven, there is a hell. And Jesus is the only way there. And I respect. You can go on YouTube. Just put Penn and Teller gospel and you'll find it. It's moving. How we believe about death and dying, heaven and hell and eternity should impact the way that we live. Today we're going to look at a few verses about heaven. The truth is that heaven and hell, the ideas of them are under attack. Last week we talked about Lucifer, the fallen angel who now roams this earth. He is Satan. He's not some ugly, evil dude walking around in a red suit with a pitchfork. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He deceives our minds into believing things that are not true. He came to lie, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And he doesn't want us to believe the truths about heaven and hell. In fact, I said last week, if he can get us to not believe in hell, then his job is halfway done. We won't fear God. We won't have any sense of urgency in this life. We won't tell others that doom is coming unless we know who the Father is. In the same way, heaven is under attack. There's a couple things that Satan wants us to believe about heaven, and these are lies. The first one is he wants us to believe that heaven can wait. He doesn't want us to have any sense of urgency in this life. He wants us to think that the default is that if you die, you go to heaven. Unless you become some horrible evil person, you don't have anything to worry about. Heaven can wait. Satan wants us to think that our best life is to be lived now, that we should go through life investing in the here and now, building up everything you can, storing up treasures for yourself, instead of worrying about the future. It'll come eventually. Heaven can wait. There was a preacher in his church, and he was teaching on this subject, and he looked out in the crowd, and he said, "Who here wants to go to heaven?" He looked out in the crowd, and every hand was up, and he felt like, wow, they got it. But he noticed in the towards the back of the room, there was one guy whose hand did not go up. And this troubled him during this whole message. He was wondering, why did that guy not raise his hand? Doesn't he want to go to heaven? At the end of his sermon, he ran to the back, and he approached the guy, and he says, "I noticed you didn't raise your hand. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die?" And the guy said, "Of course I do, but I thought you were planning on going today." The devil wants us to believe that heaven can wait. He doesn't want us to have a sense of urgency, that life here is but a vapor. It will be here and gone before we know it. Heaven can wait. We sit here and we think of moments in our life. How many of you love this life? Be honest. How many of you love life? Raise your hand. I hope it's more hands than are up right now. Life is good. Life, there's certain moments in my life that I wish I could freeze, that I wish I could just always go back. I remember growing up in the Rocky Mountains with my dad and my family, and we'd go and we'd sit on mountaintops. We'd look down into valleys, and it was just beautiful. I remember campfires. We camped out almost every weekend growing up in Golden, Colorado or Estes Park. And I remember just sitting around the campfire with my dad and my brother and my sisters, and we'd just stare up into heaven, just marveling at the stars and the beauty of God's creation. It was amazing. Those are moments in time that I wish I could hold on to and freeze forever. I try to replicate them every once in a while. I'll grab my daughters in the 2 o'clock in the morning. "Hey, girls, get up. There's a meteorite shower. Come on, let's go lay down on the trampoline." Lexi is the only one that will ever join me. For those, the others like sleep better. But those are moments that I wish that I could freeze. I love those kinds of times. And when I think about the best moments in life, you know what the scriptures tell us? That even those most dear, precious, special moments in your life, they can't even compare to what we're going to experience with God in heaven. They can't even compare. In Psalm 84:10, it says, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Better is one moment with God in His presence than anything else that you could ever compare to in life. Indescribably better. There is no way anything can compare to what we have in store for us in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, I would put it this way. Your most dull moment in heaven will far exceed your best moment in this life here on earth. But Satan doesn't want us to believe that. He wants us to think, yeah, heaven's... He wants us to believe what I believed about heaven when I was young. That one day I'll become a fat, bald baby sitting on a cloud playing a harp one day. That's not what heaven is. Heaven is not a place where we become some boring choir robe dressed angels. There is beautiful, amazing things ahead of us in heaven. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. The second lie that Christ wants us to believe about heaven is that most people are going there. Satan wants us to believe, don't worry, most people are going to heaven. For every one person interviewed and asked a series of questions about the afterlife and heaven and hell, for those that believe that there was an afterlife, that there was a heaven or hell, for every one person who admitted that they thought, yeah, I might go to hell. I don't know what would get you to admit that, but for every one person who said, yes, I think I'm going to hell, 120 said they believed they were going to heaven. We live in a society where we think that if we simply are average or better, we've got things worked out for us. We don't need a God. We don't need a Jesus Christ bloodshed. We just need to be good people. And we are on the right road. We believe that heaven is the default destination. But Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. He said, "Enter through the what? The narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The truth is that there are not many on the right road. But Jesus has put us here. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, I remember at the close of every service growing up, our pastor used to say, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're a Christian, right now as we close, begin praying for those in this room who do not yet know Jesus. Begin praying for those who you know in your life who do not know Him, because prayer is powerful and we need to get the word out and the truth out that most are not going to heaven. Most are on their way to a place called hell. Only a few find a way to heaven. But Satan wants us to believe that no, everybody's good to go. Don't waste your time. Don't go around offending people. Don't tell them they're going to hell. That's going to really hurt their feelings. I can understand that. We need to share truth and love, but we need to be about sharing truth and love. So let's take a few looks into a couple of verses. Let's get a glimpse into heaven, if you will. In Revelations 21, 1 through 4, it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. We're going to talk about this more next week, possibly. We've got a lineup of baptisms, and I'm ready for a beautiful service. But depending on how many of you decide to join that line, we may just do a baptism service. But we'll get back to this more in the future weeks. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, this may be new to you, but many scholars and theologians agree on a few basic things. Our idea of heaven and hell has kind of lost its meaning. And so that's why we're doing this series. There is a heaven right now. If you are a child of God, if you put your belief in God, when you die as Jesus as your Savior, to be absent from the body means to be present with Him in heaven. There's a hell, a version of hell right now called Hades, where those who are waiting judgment, who have died apart from Christ, are waiting judgment. In the future, there will be a time when all are gathered before the throne of God, and those whose names are found in the Lamb's Book of Life will pass to heaven forever, and those who not are going to be cast into forever separation and tormentation, if that's a word, separation from God. Where are you today? Is your name found in the Lamb's Book of Life? There will one day be a new heaven and a new earth. Here's another beautiful picture that I didn't understand until I was older, an older teenager. A new earth. Many of us think, oh, we're going to heaven one day. But you know that God talks about a new earth being created as well? Actually, there's going to come a time when Jesus returns to this earth. And if you read in Revelations towards the end, it says there's going to be 1,000 years that Jesus is on earth. And those of us that are His children will reign on this earth with Him. Have you ever heard that? A lot of us think we die now and go to heaven. Earth is going to be recreated anew for us to reign and live on it with Him. The best moments that you enjoy on life now are going to be even better then. How many of you like to play golf? Okay, think of the most perfect golf game you could ever have. Maybe even playing with Jesus. That's kind of crazy to think about. But that's the kind of stuff we possibly have to look forward to. A new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to sit there with Jesus at a campfire and look at shooting stars, and He's going to be able to name them all. And I'll be blown away. This is what we have to look forward to. Not just boring cloud-sitting, heart-playing, bald baby stuff, but enjoying the creation in its way it was intended. A new heaven and a new earth created for the kingdom of God to share in together. You've heard of streets of what? Streets of gold. A lot of us think of that as heaven. Actually, this talks about a city called New Jerusalem coming out of heaven. Let's continue reading. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, a New Jerusalem. This city is explained in pretty vast detail. The size of it is 3/4 the size of the United States, cubed. Okay, somehow it has 12 floors. This is a massive city. That city is the city that has streets of gold. It says that the sun will no longer be there or be needed because God will be our sun. His presence will shine on us eternally. It goes on to say, Holy City, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice, 20 times this phrase is in the book of Revelation. And this last time this loud voice speaks, here is what the final message of the voice of God says. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Based on this passage, I want to draw quickly three heavenly conclusions. Number one, God will establish a new heaven and a new earth. Following this 1,000-year reign of Jesus on this earth and us reigning with him, there will be a new creation established, in some ways much like the Garden of Eden initially before sin entered our world. God will be with us. Behold, it says in Isaiah 65:17, behold, I will create new heavens and new earth. 2 Peter 3:13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Like I said, if you enjoy life on earth now, it can't even compare to what is to come when God restores the heavens and the earth to what they will be. Number two, from this passage, God will do away with death, with mourning, and with pain. Headaches, how many of you have headaches? No more headaches. Backaches, anybody have backaches? No more backaches. Poor health, financial woes, family struggles, marriage problems, none of that. It will all be gone. Everything will pass away. You've dealt with the struggle of losing someone you've loved, no more death. You've dealt with feeling horrible about the tragedies that are unfolding in this world now. Terrible acts of terrorism in places like Paris. None of this anymore. It'll all be gone. No more pain. No more children dying of hunger. Things made right as they should be. Anything that would have caused you to shed a tear, they'll all be gone, and God himself will be there to wipe away your tears. Number three, God will dwell with us. In the Old Testament, we see pictures of God. In the Old Testament, before Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, God the Father was the primary force in the Trinity, interacting with mankind, and we couldn't even handle it. Moses begged, God, let me see yourself. And God was like, you can't handle it. You can't handle the truth. And he said, I'm going to cover your face and pass by. And it left Moses glowing. I mean, that's crazy to even think about. There are other times in Scripture where God wanted, people wanted to be in the presence of God, but God could not reveal himself. People were so scared of being in God's presence that there was a time when, these Levites, these people who would work in the temple, they would go and bring sacrifices to God. They would go to the part of the temple called the Holy of Holies, and they would go into the presence of God, and they were fearful of doing anything that might cause God to be disappointed in them, and possibly they would lose their life. And people were so afraid to be in God's presence that they would, hey, if Bob dies while in there, let's tie a rope around his waist so we don't have to go in after him. We'll just pull him out. And they did that kind of thing. But there's coming a day where we don't have to fear being in God's presence, where we can love on him and he'll love on us, and he will surround us with his presence. Revelation 21:3 says this, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This will fulfill God's greatest desire from the beginning of time. God's greatest desire wasn't just to create a people, to wind up a universe, and to walk away and let it unfold. God intimately desires to be in relationship with us, his children. This would be like a greatest homecoming ever. Jordan came home from Liberty this weekend. It was so great to see her walk in. Last night was one of the first nights in a long time that our whole family was all together. We had our three daughters, Brandy and I, sitting and having supper together. It was wonderful. This will be a day when God, the Heavenly Father, will sit with all of us, his children, and we will all be with him, he being our God, intimate relationship unfolding. God desires this with you today. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face. When we see God's face, we will come to realize how amazing and how wonderful he truly is. When we enter into his presence, it's sometimes so hard for me to fathom 1,000 years of living with Christ on this earth. Amazing grace. You've sang that song, right? All of us have. Whole new perspective on that verse where it talks about, and when we've been there, how long? 10,000 years. We've only just begun. With no less days to sing his praise. We will be with God for eternity forever, in his presence, living lives of worship, enjoying the universe and the new heavens and the new earth as he intended it to be, reigning with him forever. So, when you think about heaven in that way, what kind of things does it do to your heart? Does it continue to say, oh, I need to keep living for what I can attain here on earth? I need to keep living for treasures on earth. I need to build up all I can. He who dies with the most toys, what? Still dies. You don't get to take this stuff with you. So instead, knowing we have this great, the greatest part of our life yet to come, this life is but a vapor. This life, imagine this gym is eternity, okay? And our life is maybe this much of it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So much of us live for how can we make this much of life? I'm not happy. I'm going to do this instead so that these short 70 years I can be happy. What are you going to do the rest of it? We spend so much time investing in what we can do for ourselves here and now, not even realizing what's to come. I remember driving on I-95. I was driving a broken down red 4-speed Hyundai. Didn't even have third gear in it. First, second, fourth. A red Ferrari pulls up next to me and I'm like, wow, if only I could have that. For what? 70 years and then it's gone. It was so weird. It was like God said, enjoy your Hyundai while you can. It was crazy. So much, many of us, we live trying to build up things for 70 years and then they're gone instead of realizing God has an eternity for us. We have people who are around us who we don't want to offend because we don't want to tell them about the rest of eternity. We have to live differently. There is an afterlife. This life is but a vapor. It's the very beginning. But we've been deceived. We need to live differently. We need to help others come to know the love and truth of Jesus Christ. And the only way that they can have the life that God wants them to have is if they come to know his love and what Jesus did for them on the cross by forgiving of their sins and wanting to live through them. Let's pray. If you're here today and you don't know that day comes when you're standing before the throne of heaven and the Lamb's book of life is open. If you're here today and you're not sure if your name is in that book or not, you can know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loved you, that He died on the cross for you, that when you were thought of in His mind, He took His sins upon Himself, your sins upon Himself. He died in your place and mine to forgive us, to make it possible for us to have an eternal relationship with the Father in heaven. And He offers as a free gift to anyone who would receive this gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, eternal punishment and separation from God. But the free gift of Jesus Christ our Lord is salvation, and He offers it today to any who would receive Him. Have you given your heart to Jesus? To believe He died for you? Today is the day of salvation, the Scriptures say. Today you can be made new. Call out to Him and say, Lord, come into my life. Make me new. Help me to follow You. Father God, I pray for anyone in this room who's never done that, that they would allow Your Holy Spirit to lead them right now into Your presence. Just as they are, right here, right now, coming to know You, the loving Father, the Savior of all. Father God, I also pray for those in this room, including myself, who so often forget about the things to come, and we live for the here and now. We live for ourselves. We live for even trying to do our best to take care of our family and not putting our eyes on You. God, help us to let You be number one in our life. Help us to let You be the reason that we do all things, that in all ways, in all things that we do and live, they would somehow be an act of worship to You, glorifying You, leading others to know who You are. Show us, God, our next steps as followers of You. God, as our band plays, let Your Holy Spirit speak to our heart about these things. As we think about these things, let us remember that the only reason we're here on this life and able to follow You is because of what You did first in our place when Your body was broken for us, Your blood was shed. And as we eat of this communion today, a piece of this bread, a symbol of Your body broken for us. As we dip it in this cup, a symbol of Your blood shed for us. Let us remember that You died and rose again so that we can live for You today. God, I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters who are struggling with whatever it is in this life. Let them know that this life is but a vapor. And if they simply lean on You and trust in You, You will be here to carry them through this life and prepare them for the rest to come. Meet us here in this place now, I pray. If you've given your heart to Jesus today, come let us know. We want to celebrate that with you. Right now, I pray that you simply respond to how the Holy Spirit is leading you in this moment. Let Him lead you. Father God, move in our midst now, I pray. Amen.